Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace here. Final hour of the show. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Teron Davenport to start this hour as we talk some Titans. They introduced the five free agents today, and there's still a lot to be done with the Titans roster. We'll get into it with TD here in just a moment. Caroline is out today. Just a quick reminder, if your brackets are busted, mine are, sign up and play the official 16-team game bracket challenge. So we got a you get a fresh start, with the Sweet 16. And if the 16-game bracket challenge is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts, and wall-to-wall sports, and the bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now, 866-GET-LAND. So that's something you can go to thegamenashville.com and check out. TD is with us. So, TD, first of all, give us your impressions of the new guys.
Yeah, I tell you, well, yeah, we'll start with Arden Key. I love the energy in talking to him, and you could feel that he is going to fit in. And when you look at just the way he talked about pass rushing and the way he talked about taking it personally, how he thought he was going to be back with the Jaguars after the year he had. And that was even though they got Walker and Josh Allen starting at the same position. He still felt that he was going to be back. They didn't bring him back. I love the fact that he said he took it personally. And he said, you know, the culture that he learned in San Francisco, the winning culture, he said it was something that he brought to Jacksonville and he plans to bring here to Nashville. So I think that's good for that team. And then, like I said, just the energy. He's a guy that in watching him, you could tell that his presence is felt and his energy. But I think when you lose a David Long and you bring that in, that helps supplement that. And then in addition to that, the play, the way that Azeez Al-Shaair plays, I think you combine those two, and that kind of helps you make up for the loss of David Long and the release of Bud Dupree. So the energy there in the defense is back, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things David Long always said, like, when I'm out there, I want you to feel my presence. I want you to feel me. And I think that you're going to get that as a combination between Key and Al-Shaair.
Now, do you think he is a?
Well, we were just reading off the salaries of the guys too, and they're all fairly inexpensive. So I think the idea is bang for your buck there. Fair to say?
Oh yeah, it's bang for your buck. The Andre Dillard numbers haven't come out yet. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting on that. But yeah, I think that's the whole idea with all of the signings between Daniel Brunskill, Luke, was it Gibbons?
Yeah, Luke Gifford. Yeah,
Luke Gifford. Yeah. I think that's the common thread for all the guys.
Now, with these guys, do you think, especially someone like Arden Key, because if you watched him the last couple of years, he was in San Fran, DeNico Ryans, who's now the Houston Texans head coach, that was an aggressive defense. Like he said, he brought that winning culture to Jacksonville, but he still wasn't an every down linebacker. Can he be an every down linebacker here, or at least a two down linebacker? Because his responsibilities are going to grow tremendously here.
Yeah, I think he can. And the thing is with that, the situations, like especially last year, mm-hmm. he was considered as more of a specialist, mm-hmm. right? Because, I mean, I think that he brings a better pass rush than Walker. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen is the truth. So I'm going to, cede to Josh Allen from that perspective. So they brought him in a lot of times in pass rushing situations. When you see him in person, he's a lot longer than mm-hmm. I thought he was. So I know that length on the outside, being able to get his hands on the offensive lineman first and kind of steer and direct, I think that should allow him to set the edge. But I definitely think that he'll be a at least a two down mm-hmm. personnel guy for sure.
Now, do you see them making any more moves? Because now this would be the second wave of free agency now. And we know a lot of things will potentially happen either during the draft or right after the draft. But do you think they will wait more so after the draft to potentially make what we would call a big splash? Or do you think they not go that route? At least not this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a big splash. Mm-hmm. I don't. Unless there's a trade that they're able to make, I think the big splash is going to be, securing their own guys, right? Namely Simmons. I think that's something that it will, if there's anything, that'll be the splash. I don't see them making the moves, and really it's not much out there to do that with anyway.
TD, I want to ask you about something we've been kicking around a lot, and that is the Kevin Byard situation, and you can sort of couple it with Derrick Henry. As we looked at SpotRack, Kevin Byard is scheduled to make the highest cap hit of any safety at over $19 million a year. Derrick Henry is second only to Ezekiel Elliott in the scheduled cap hit for running backs, and we see what's happening with Elliott. He's going to be released by the Cowboys and become a free agent. So I can see Rand Carthon coming in and saying, these two contracts we would like to take a look at. What can we do with these things, regardless of, you know, what you believe or don't believe about what the discussions actually have been? So let's start with Byard. I know you've been trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. What have you found out?
Well, it is a fact that he was approached about taking a pay cut. That's definitely the case. I will say multiple sources told me that there wasn't any request to be released. He didn't have that question, you know, in the whole situation. But as you said, the number being what it is a higher number. But this is what happens when you, in essence, borrow against the cap.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The can has been kicked down the road, and now – the chickens that come home to roost. So, like, okay, what do you do? Look, you release him, you save $6 million, you still have a $13 million hit. Now, they already have $37 million in dead money. That'll put them up to 50. I don't know if that's something. Me is, you know, $50, period. I don't like to think about losing that, let alone $50 million. So, obviously, it's all relative, but still – that's a big number to have in dead money. So I don't know if they release him. It's possible, but you know, that's to me is like it's counterproductive. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously with Derrick Henry, the whole thing about him being shopped, you know, that's semantics. I'm not sure exactly what degree or if that happened for sure, but there's a lot going on, and those are two names that if I was Rand Carthon, like, I would hate to have to make a decision on those guys because, you know, it takes it back to the, you know, the McNair and Eddie George parting ways. But this is something that you're doing, like, in a year's time at the same time. At least that, you know, we had you, Derek, and then, you know, McNair and Eddie, and it was, like, over a period of time. Big losses, but – in this case, the heart is just being like, it's Indiana Jones, you know what I mean? Put a hand in the chest and rip the heart right out.
These are special guys. These are super special guys. You would add back in the day, it was Derek, Steve McNair, I think Eddie was the year before, and then Kevin Carter and Samari Roll, two other, you know, really essential players.
It was a gradual day. Inserting in the chest and pulling it out. You know, this one is just like one shot.
But you said kicking the can down the road. Isn't that sort of what they did last year with Derrick Henry's contract? Are there some similarities with what they did with his at $16.3 million?
Yeah, they did. And now, you know, you got the two voidable years. So if they do something next year, it's $4.6 million, which that's probably the time when they do it. Yeah, it's $4.6 million. If they wait until the following year, which I highly doubt, we're talking 2025, it's $2.3 million. Mm-hmm. So – they, in essence, just created the voidable years with funny money built into it.
Now, but you have to see this roster from a veteran standpoint of what we are used to over the next two off seasons. It's going to look vastly different. Mm-hmm. They started it this year. Now, whether they continue is a different story. I've always said, like, listen, this year is probably the most important offseason for this franchise since Vrabel's been here. And then next year is going to be important, too, because after that, you want to set this team up so when they walk into that stadium that they have a winning product. And when I mean winning product, a team that's capable of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's the big thing why the Ryan Tannehill situation is so crazy, because – he is 35. He said he has good football left, but you're going to have a quarterback, a new quarterback going into there. So how do you position it to where you don't throw everything away in order to set up to get that quarterback, but you also keep yourself within striking distance? That's the whole crazy part of it. But me personally, I think this year they – okay, if you move on for Derek, I get it. You can't – Byard needs
can't
to be
do both
building.
Of them at the same time.
Yeah, you can't do both, and the Byard has to be in the building. He has to be, and they've already established that Tannehill is going to be there. So,
yeah, those are. I mean, it's like two lungs, right? You can live with one lung. You take out both lungs at the same time, you got problems, right? I mean, those guys are so essential, Henry and Byard. So, Teron, I know you got a lot of things going on. You're preparing for your draft. Do you have time for one more segment, or do you need to run?
Yeah, no, we can do it. I have an interview at 2. That's why I'm here. So,
okay, good. Well, we're glad to have you. So stick around. We'll get a little bit more into this, the Tannehill part of this, and what the options could be in this tricky negotiation with Byard. And foreseeably, it could be similar types of discussions with Tannehill and Henry. We'll talk to Teron Davenport when we come back. We'll continue our discussion with the Titans. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, you're listening to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
On guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
Teron Davenport is with us as we continue with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Don't forget, our show, along with Stillman & Company, of course, Jared's show is coming up at 2 o'clock. Both shows will be at Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village coming up on Thursday for the Sweet 16. So come by for some great Memphis-style barbecue. Catch your favorite teams competing in the tournament. Again, that's Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village this Thursday. All right, so TD, we've been talking about the dilemma here that Rand Carthon is in, the special player that Kevin Byard is, presumably same type of dilemma with Derrick Henry's contract situation, even Ryan Tannehill's. Of course, the quarterback is sort of a separate deal, but in your mind, what are the options that you could make this work with Kevin Byard? Forget about the term pay cut or asking for relief. If you want to just work it out, how would you try to go about it?
I mean, really, at this point, you just got to eat that money. It is what it is, right? The 19 is the 19. It's you borrowed from the bank of Byard. Not you personally, meaning Rand Carthon, the organization.
Yeah.
And you just got to deal with it, I think. You know, it just, to me, $13.6 million in dead money is just, it's not worth the around $6 million that you're going to save and cut them. I just can't see that.
Now, what they have done in free agency, they go out and they get them a left tackle, a former first rounder, Dillard. From Philadelphia, do you think with that 11th, because this is what I've been trying to figure out, they sort of plugged the hole in their mind at the left tackle position with Dillard. Again, I'm sure they scouted him when he came out.
They did. He was here.
Exactly. So they think highly of him. You know, he had a torn bicep. That's what kept him out a full bicep. Year. Yeah. But they believe he is a obviously, you go out and get him, you believe he is a starting left tackle. Mm-hmm. With that 11 pick, do you think they go opposite? Because now, in their mind, they might not need a left tackle. You know, so do they go opposite, get the best player available, whether it be offense or defense, or move down in the draft and pick up extra picks?
Right. That's the thing. And Dillard actually had a fractured forearm, too. Fractured forearm landed him on IR last year.
Okay.
And that was right around – yeah, a little bit before the trade deadline. He had just gotten off IR after the trade deadline because he was someone I had suggested trading for. But as far as the 11 pick, see, that's the thing. So a lot of people point to Dillard's flexibility, his versatility, and they say, hey, well, you know what, you could flip him to right tackle or you could have him play guard. When he was in Philly, especially as a rookie, they talked about right tackle, and he didn't take too well to that. Obviously, he was going to do whatever the team asked.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was saying how, using the old analogy, it's like, hey, man, you're asking me to take, I'm left-handed, and you're asking me to write with my right hand. Mm-hmm. You know, So that being said, grabbing a left tackle, I don't know. But if Paris Johnson is there, you obviously have to consider it. Skoronski is interesting because he does give you that option of where you could bump him inside and he could be a really good left guard. Mm-hmm. So now your whole unit is in pretty good shape without people flipping positions, you know. Because I asked Skoronski at the combine, he said he's confident and comfortable playing either left guard or tackle.
So with Dillard, TD, you don't think they signed him saying this is a starter, he just hasn't had there are circumstances, and of course the Eagles have a great offensive line. He's not playing behind pigeons here, right? This guy. But so what's their vision? Do they see a starter?
Well, yeah. I mean, the money, the details haven't come out, which means that it's not going to be a home run type of deal for the agent, because otherwise, you know, one of his media connections would have posted the numbers. But I think they signed him to be the starter at left tackle. But more importantly, they put themselves in a situation where you don't go into the draft at number 11 saying, hey, I have to go left tackle. Now, okay, a guy like Jalen Carter, if he's there, you know, you think about it now. Mm-hmm. Christian Gonzalez, if somehow he's there, you think about it now. Devin Witherspoon, and this is regardless of whether or not them signing Sean Murphy Budding. These guys are there. Now you got to think about it. You know what I mean? Because you're not focused on just getting a left tackle. Like, it keeps you from having to reach, long story short. I think that's the good part of it.
Okay, what about Brunskill? Do you see utility, or do you see him plugged in starting somewhere?
Well, a lot of people don't realize 2021, he had 17 starts at right guard. The year before, he had multiple starts at right guard, but also center. The year before that, he had 7 at tackle. So you are getting versatility, but I think he's going to be the right guard. That's how I look at it. He's going to be the guy that's going to be next to Petit Farrar on the right side. And, you know, Brewer will probably bump inside to play center, although there are, like, you look at Steve Avila out of TCU, he's a guy that I could see coming in. He gives you guard, center flexibility. You're not going to have to use a day one pick for sure. Probably not a day two pick. Now you're working with something, you know, and there are other guards. And that's the thing about this draft. You talk about receiver and left tackle. It's a little sketchy as far as top end side of it, but the depth is all throughout this draft at that position. Also guard, there's depth throughout the draft. I know Washington, his name is Jackson Kirkland. He's 6'7", 321. He's a tackle slash guard. Projects to play guard. He's the guy that the Titans have spoken to. So there's another guy. You got Osiris Torrance out of Florida, you know, where Rand Carthon went. He's another one. They had a formal with him at the combine. So they're doing their homework. The thing that's just interesting to me is I haven't been able to connect them to a center other than the mandatory meet. Like, if somebody tells you, hey, so-and-so met with X team at the Senior Bowl, so what?
Okay.
Every team meets with every player there. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean anything.
That's why it's there.
It's a little bit different at the combine, but then also when you get into these top 30 visits.
Now, do you think they believe, because now that they went out and got Dillard, they got Brunskill, yes, they have to figure out that center position, whether it's Brewer or Core 11 or somebody else they bring in.
Yeah.
Do you think they believe Nicholas is a future right tackle in this league for them?
That's the tough part. I think, you know, Vrabel, when he spoke about Petit Farrar, it was about the penalties, you know, but he did make strides throughout the year. Obviously, he wasn't, you know, a top level. He was a rookie, third-round pick. I think getting him to have 15 starts, that's solid production there. I don't know, because he does have that flexibility to where you could flip him to the left. You could bump him inside to guard. I think ideally they keep him there and then they go about finding the center left guard type of solution. And Corey Levin, you mentioned him, he's a free agent. But he's one of those low-cost free agents. Like, exactly. I don't think it would make sense not bringing him in.
To have the depth
at the very least.
So it's interesting. So as we look at the offensive line right now, of course it's not a full picture yet. It's not come into focus. But Petit Frere at right tackle. Let's just say it for now. Let's say Brunskill at right guard or left guard. What's better for him?
Right.
TD.
He says right guard. Yeah.
So we say Brewer at center. TBD. at left guard, right? And then let's just pencil in Dillard at left tackle. As it stands now, we know the draft and further moves. Is that basically a picture? Who am I missing?
No, I think that is what it is. Left guard and center are the positions in somewhat question, but you look, the tender that they put on Aaron Brewer is, what, $4 million. Mm-hmm. He's going to start at one of those positions.
Yeah.
And I think you go back to when he first got here, he was projected as kind of the future option at center. He's your starting center, in essence. So left guard is what you're looking to fill.
He needs to put on some more weight, though. But I know it's hard for a guy like that because he can put on a weight in the offseason, and then once you get in once you get into camp, you drop the weight anyway.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that because that's what Azeez Al-Shaarawy said.
Uh-huh.
He said he plays at 225 to 227, mm-hmm. but he wanted to go into camp at 230 mm-hmm. in anticipation of losing that couple pounds. Now, with Aaron Brewer, is interesting because I wanted to do a story about him throughout the year. So we talked about his weight mm-hmm. a lot. And there were some things that he was doing. He said, now, I don't know that I believe it all the way, but mm-hmm. he said, like, towards the end of the year, he said that he was up to 290, 295.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And ironically, if you look in the directory or whatever, on the team uh-huh. site, it does say 295. But it also says 270-something, too, so you don't know which one it is.
It fluctuates.
Yeah, it fluctuates. But that's a big fluctuation.
What's his ceiling? What do we think his ceiling is? Can he get to another level at this point in his career?
Or is he
what he is?
I think he could get to another level. I like him more at center. He's someone, you know, it goes back to – now, understand, like, I'm not comparing greatness. I'm mm-hmm. comparing the things that you could do, mm-hmm. right? You look at Dermoni Dawson, you look at Jason Kelce, where these are centers where you could pull and let them get out in space and block because of their athleticism. Mm-hmm. Aaron Brewer is the same type of guy. Now, I'm saying same type of guy. Again, I'm not saying
with the athleticism that you exactly, can do those things.
Exactly. Yeah. We're just talking about just as an athlete, mm-hmm. he's the same type of guy as those guys were and are in Kelce, who's coming back. I'm glad he's coming back. That's I love Jason Kelce. But different conversation. I think he can unlock to, like, help out in that way.
TD, great stuff, as always. I know you're going to keep grinding away with your draft preparation. We can't wait for that. So I know you got to get to work on that. Thanks for stopping by. And can we have a moment of silence for the injury to Edwin Diaz? The trumpets will not be sounding for a while.
Yeah.
I'm still crushed and trying to get over that. So we'll have to try to overcome.
Yeah, man, I did ESPN Radio on Sirius on Saturday, and we did a segment on that. And the first time I heard Narcos by Tommy Trumpet, it was the first time I ever heard it, and I didn't feel good about it. So, yeah, definitely a moment
exactly.
of silence.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right, TD, we'll talk another time. We'll talk off air about the Mets. We'll get through it.
I need counsel. But
thanks for coming on. Talking with TD, always great to have him stop by Talking Titans with him. D. Mace and I will come down the home stretch of the show. We'll get back into the brackets. Tennessee is in the Sweet 16 with a great opportunity against 33-3 Florida Atlantic coming up on Thursday. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. Here on Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace, 102.5 The Game.